This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your Huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Wednesday afternoon, a wrestling Wednesday. Death to Light Years. Did we see the final for Clay, Dre, and Steph in the Golden State Warriors?
They might play together, but they're not going to be good.
Oh, okay.
They're just going to be a very average team going forward. You saw the Clay's, he's not cooked, but he was last night, and he's going to have those games that pop up from now and then. He went 0 for 10, 0 for 6 from 3. Steph had 6 turnovers. He shot 8 of 16, 3 of 7 from 3, totally fine, 22 points, 4 rebounds, a couple assists. Sloppy with the ball, which is not anything new. The ghost of Andrew Wiggins, obviously not out there, 12 points, 4 of 11. Draymond Green, typical Draymond Green night, a little light, 12, 6 and 3. Mm. You just didn't get anything else because they're old, they're long, and they're broken, and they're in this position because Draymond Green was an idiot.
Draymond Green was an idiot?
Well, I mean, being in the play-in.
Oh!
Being suspended for 21 games put them in this position that put them in the play-in, where it was win or go home, and then you throw in the fact that Andrew Wiggins has been a ghost of whatever that was in the 2022 finals, where he was maybe the second-best player on the court, and ever since then, he's been awful. And there's no other way, like... If you're talking about negative value contract guys in the NBA right now, he's got to be one of the highest.
Well, they got a couple of them there. I mean, for what you're paying, and like this is the whole thing with like, is this the last that we've seen of the trio of the Golden State Warriors? I mean, Steve Kerr acknowledged the elephant in the room.
Yeah, it's too early for me to even think about that, you know. You invest so much in the season, and there's so much that goes on. It's so emotional. It's you know, the highs and lows of this business are incredible. That's why we're all kind of addicted to it. You can't find this anywhere else in life. I know I can't. And you have to absorb the lows. We've been really blessed here with amazing players and, you know, multiple championships and finals appearances and the highest of highs. And this is the flip side. This is life. This is how it works. You don't get to stay on top forever. So what happens this summer and going into next year, we'll worry about that later. Right now, I'm just thinking about our guys and how committed they were this year, the connection they had, the effort they put in to put us in a position to at least have a chance. And we clearly weren't good enough, but not for a lack of effort or commitment from our guys. They were great all year. It's incredible when I think about, you think about how difficult and physical this game was. And these guys have had... You know, our core group, 6 finals runs where, you know, you have 24 of these games, you know, in one playoff run. And that's what I was thinking about down the stretch of that game as it was clear we were losing, that, you know, Sacramento dominated. But our guys have been fighting for so long. They're incredible competitors and warriors, and I couldn't be prouder of them. But, you know, we've got to – an off season where we've got a lot to think about for sure.
It sure feels like they all know what is coming down the pipeline for them. Well, and it's no secret to anybody. No. The problem is Klay Thompson at the number he was playing at this year, mm-hmm. in the production that he had, it didn't make sense. If Klay Thompson comes back to the Golden State Warriors, right, at what? Just above the MLE, right? Mid-level exception.
Yeah, that's probably what he'll come in at.
And he returns to the Warriors. That's palatable for his production this year. It's not like Klay Thompson was a bum all season long. It was his production was not commensurate with the amount he was paid.
No, and he was making $43 million this year. And then Chris Paul was making $31
million. And look, Chris Paul said after the game, he's not retiring, but
he's got to come back on basically a vet men.
Is it sustainable for him? Yeah. You have so much of the salary cap, and with Steph Curry still having the ability to play, I'm not completely done on the Warriors because people will want to go and play with them.
I am. The top end's gone. And even if you bring these guys, it could be cool to see these guys all, you know, Steph, Clay, Dre, stay with one team. When was the last time we saw this? Like, it's probably the Larry Bird Celtics.
Well, and this is how all great runs end, though, is like you have
Hakeem
that attachment.
And the Toronto and stuff like that.
And then, well, no, you have these attachments to players, and then you have so much success, and then all of a sudden they get old.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as productive as they were, and you have a steep fall off in what they have the ability to be aggressive this year.
Mm-hmm.
Not with the draft, because the Blazers got another lottery pick, baby.
Hey-o.
Now, here's what we need from the Blazers. Blazers better hope that the Warriors win the lottery this year.
I'm fourth. You want to move up to fourth.
Yeah, sure. If they get into that top four, though, then the Blazers get their first-round pick next year, right?
Yes, so...
Yeah, let's go!
The pick that the Blazers are getting from the Warriors right now is top four protected, meaning... The Warriors, they're probably going to finish either 13th or 14th, depending on how things shake out and who loses in the rest of the plan. They could go anywhere from 12 to 14 in the lottery odds. They'll have about a 3.5% chance of landing a top four pick. And if they land top four, the Blazers will not get that pick this year. The Warriors will retain it. And then the Blazers would get the Warriors 2025 pick, and it would be top one protected, otherwise known as the Cooper Flag protection. So they could go, if it did move into the top four, you have an opportunity to have maybe one more bite at the apple in 2025, which I think you could argue would maybe be better for Portland, considering this draft class. Also the fact that there's a pretty strong possibility that the Warriors are going to fall off. The Warriors are paying $350 million for this roster. That includes the actual salaries and then the luxury tax. They're going to pay a luxury tax of roughly $169 million when it's all said and done.
Ooh.
But you look at what they have. Again, Clay's contract is coming off the books. Chris Paul's contract is coming off the books. That's, $73 million? But they don't get magic space to go use that. Losing those two contracts doesn't do them any good. It does not get them any salary cap space. So they can't just go out and sign a free agent, but they would have the bird rights for both guys so that they could go over the cap to bring them back. But Joe Lacob, owner of the Warriors, has said that they're going to get under the tax. So do the math. That means those guys aren't winning that. And then you've got to deal with Andrew Wiggins' $25 million. He averaged. Do you know what Andrew Wiggins ended up averaging this year?
No.
Take a wild guess.
14-5.
13-4-2 on 45% from the field. That is 93rd in scoring, 94th in rebounding, and 98th in field goal percentage.
All right.
Making $25 million a year. And not to mention, he just wasn't around this year.
Yeah, he was, for long stretches, he was gone. Because they're in this is kind of the veil of secrecy around what's going on. They're saying just personal reasons, family matters.
Family stuff, yeah.
And nobody really knows. And the fan base is getting a little uneasy and unruly by it. By the way, Warriors have 1% chance to get into the top four this year. So you're saying there's a chance.
Well, and with a combined odds, it ends up being about 3%, I believe.
No, that was for four. That was for the fourth spot.
Oh, just the fourth in general?
Just
okay.
The fourth spot okay, so is top, a 1%
top
chance.
Okay, so top four is top four in total is 3.5%, something along those lines.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense because they have like a 0.8% chance of landing number one.
Yeah, and that's number two. 0.7 for number one, 0.8 for number two, 0.9 for number three, and then 1% at that number four pick.
I'm
all right.
Look at that. Nice.
All right.
So, but yeah, I'm entirely out on the Warriors going forward. There'll be a perfectly fine, okay team, and that'll be it. And then we'll find out, oh, wow, maybe they aren't smarter than everybody else, and they fell face first into greatness.
Boy, that really drives you nuts, don't
it? It does.
Doesn't it?
Because everybody talks about how it's like, oh, it's smarter front offices. And I'm just like, smarter front offices? What are you talking about? This is the same front office that drafted James Wiseman.
Yeah. I think they're going with... And look, there's a lot of luck.
There's
in the draft.
A tremendous amount of luck.
But they also took flyers on guys that people said that may be a reach, Steph. That may be a reach, Clay. And they rode with those guys. And
sure.
Evaluating and finding Draymond Green in the second round, you know, it paid off for them. And they hit in just bam, bam, bam. And it all happened so quickly. Yeah. And all three of those guys became centerpieces to NBA titles runs like that.
And then Kevin Durant falling in your lap because of a cap spike in 2016.
Well, yeah, but guess what? Everybody had the cap spike in 2016.
Yes, but they didn't all have the cap spike that coincided with an underpaid Steph Curry because he was so good that you paid him less, right?
Yeah, you got him on a deal.
Oh, right, because you're just so smart. Or no, he just hadn't profiled.
If it was the Blazers, anything. Would you feel differently?
Yes.
Okay.
But no. No, I wouldn't. Because, like, I've talked about this. Like, when you get lucky with things, and I've called out when they've gotten lucky. Yeah. Like, a simple one, again, it's not as obviously nearly as impactful or big, but remember when Anthony Simons signed his deal, I was like, oh, that's an overpay. And I was like, look around right now.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens. Like, you get good deals on guys, and that's what happens. You want to get that if you're an organization. You don't want that for the player, obviously. But, like, anytime you get good deals on guys, it's...
Yeah.
99.9% of the time, it's luck.
But we remember that part of his being on that smoking hot deal was because nobody trusted his ankles.
His ankles were made of glass. And even then, and he'd been good, not great.
Yep.
Even when they made the decision between Steph and Monta. Remember the revolt.
Yeah, but what line do you draw to talent development? Because he grew as a player exponentially, and they did a really good job of finding pieces that worked around Steph, because we've seen shooters that can shoot the lights out, but the team isn't able to build around them properly. And I thought Golden State did a very good job of that.
Oh, for sure, but also the idea of like...
Why are you making me defend the Warriors?
I don't know,
here?
Man. You're
Damn
being
it.
Weird about this.
I know. Well,
the thing about this...
trying to be fair to him.
I always thought this was really funny. Like, people like, well, we're going to try to be like the Warriors and play small ball. It was never about small ball.
No, it wasn't.
We have two of the greatest shooters of all time, and then the third, when Kevin Durant came in, maybe the best scorer of all time. There's no replicating.
And we forget how good Klay Thompson was defensively.
Yeah,
he ruptured his Achilles.
He was a very good defensive player. Yeah. Draymond Green is the best defensive player in this generation, and it worked. Like, if you throw Draymond Green in his prime on any team in the NBA, it probably works 50% of the time.
Yeah,
because of, like, yes, his defense is still going to be as impactful, but his offensive ability isn't going to be nearly as impactful because you don't have a star that plays off the ball.
Yeah, and I think of the same thing with Steph too. His shooting erases a lot, and it's probably more than 50%. But Steph Curry is not who he is unless the pieces around him are
having
as Clay good.
Being another guy that draws eyes, having Draymond being the hub of the middle, and having just two lunatics that just
and
run off the ball,
alleviating all of the pressure defensively. Yeah. All of the pressure defensively.
I know we're up against it here, but did you guys hear about the AI story created from Clay's game last night and the repeated use of the word bricks on Twitter?
No.
In a bizarre turn, this is the AI story from Grok. In a bizarre turn of events, NBA star Klay Thompson has been accused of vandalizing multiple houses with bricks in Sacramento. Authorities are investigating the claims after several individuals reported their houses being damaged with windows shattered by bricks. Klay Thompson has not yet issued a statement regarding the accusations. The incidents have left the community shaken, but no injuries were reported. The motive behind the alleged vandalism remains unclear.
Wow.
You're welcome for me being here today.
We just got Klay Thompson's statement on the matter.
To
right
come
there.
Full circle on this, it sucks that Klay might have gone out like that.
Yeah, it
that
does.
Sucks.
It does.
Because did you see him after the game?
Oh, when
just
he
standing on the court looking around,
he was walking out.
Yeah,
Gary Payton II in street clothes gives him like the, hey, keep your head up, pal, and runs right past him. And then Clay stops, turns back around, and just kind of took it all in again.
That's to be that self-aware in the moment's pretty impressive, too.
Yeah.
Because that,
I love Clay.
It might be it.
I love Clay. And to the texters asking what we don't like about Draymond Green, I just he's a jackass.
Just all
like,
of it.
That's what.
Also, as far as like, I don't hate Draymond. I think Draymond's. I literally just got saying he's the best defensive player of a generation.
Yeah,
he just does very dumb things.
You said self awareness from Clay.
Yeah,
there
Clay's never had it.
He has all of the self awareness, and Draymond has none of the self awareness. Yeah. None whatsoever.
I don't hate Draymond. Zero accountability. He's an idiot.
Zero accountability. And just saying, I can do no wrong. Yeah. I didn't do that. Clearly, we can see you doing that.
I didn't stomp on his chest, really?
I didn't choke him out. Yes, you did. We're looking
at it. The
fact
that we're not making any of these up, it's like...
Habitual nut kicker?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Like,
it's a natural leg movement.
What are we doing?
My leg's always done that. Maybe that's a problem. But yeah. End of a dynasty.
Yeah.
Pour one out. I don't
care. It's fun.
R.I.P.
They were fun, though.
But it's not peace.
Light years, man. They're just light years ahead of everybody.
Go to hell. Okay?
sorry for defending them. I really am.
No, you're not.
I am.
Astros fan.
I am.
You love monsters.
I am sorry for having to take that position. I didn't feel like I should have. Hey, will we see history made in 8 days from today? Next on The Fan.
Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
NFL draft coming up a week from tomorrow. Our first round gets underway.
Oh.
Huh?
The first of 9,426 rounds?
No, only seven.
Good God.
Good God. I think there should be more rounds of the NFL draft.
That's terrifying.
It's a 53-man roster. And you have seven rounds.
85 going into the season.
I mean, come on. Major League Baseball has a 742 round draft.
Yeah.
I think they only have 20 now.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
They used to just make rounds up. They draft guys just for the hell of it.
They used to have unlimited rounds where it was just like if a team just still wanted to take a guy, they'd just be like, but most teams would be like, pass, pass. That's how Mike Piazza became a Dodger. Mike Piazza became a Dodger as a favor to Tommy Lasorda.
Good God.
That one worked out okay.
Yeah. 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 Seemed like a pretty good pick there. But he was one of those
62nd round draft pick. 62nd.
Yeah.
A Hall of Famer from the 62nd round.
As most come from. Yeah. You know, like Suck most
it, Brock Purdy.
Yeah, most of the time we see that happen. You know? Just go ahead and do it.
He was a 262nd pick?
Because after the NFL draft wraps up, there's the free agent frenzy. And it is just guys just get calls left and right trying to, you know, get that opportunity and get that shot. But, we get the NFL draft. Round one will be next Thursday. And there's a pretty interesting storyline that's starting to percolate across the NFL. Because the over-under on offensive draft picks in the first round has been set at 21.5 for offensive players. Of the 32 first round selections, they believe 21.5 is the over under for offensive players.
Which, that's just off the top of my head, that feels low. Because this draft is not littered with defensive guys.
I believe that would be a record.
That would be a record, Bob. And only 11, that'd be 11 defensive players is kind of what they're talking about. But what we may also see is think of every mock draft that you have looked at, every, you know, draft analysis that you've seen. How many defensive players are you seeing in the top 10?
Well, you don't have the top end pass rusher that's like, oh my God, you have to take this guy. You don't have the like all world corner. Like, there's some good corners in this draft, there's no doubt. You don't have, not that you see him in the first round too often, but you don't have the linebacker that can be on the field for every down.
Well, I think you also have a lot of questions about some of the high-end talent. I mean, Dallas Turner is probably going to be the number one defensive player off the board.
Sure.
But the other guys that are propped up as the high caliber, you know, everything tells you yes, are guys like Leetu Latu from UCLA, where the University of Washington told him, you can't play football anymore. And he had to go and find a doctor to clear him. Turned out pretty good.
Your neck is made of paper. We don't want to risk you dying. And then you got Cooper DeJean, who's one of the top corners in the draft, and he's coming off a knee getting shredded.
Well, and he's a white corner.
Yeah, that's what
I mean,
a
if we're being honest here, there is some white corner.
Well, and I think the last Mel Kiper draft mock draft I saw had him going number 25 to the Green Bay Packers in what would be probably the most Packers-ish pick ever.
Boy, you're not lying.
A white corner in Green Bay. Whew.
But
that jersey's selling.
We usually see a defensive player in the top 10 selected. And if you take a look, on record, the lowest a defensive player has been selected is 8th overall. In 2021, we saw J.C. Horn get selected 8th overall by the Carolina Panthers.
The Ringer has Terrion Arnold as the first defensive player off the board to the Falcons at Number eight.
Okay. When you think of the way this first round may shake out, you may see teams that are quarterback thirsty, right? That may trade up Minnesota. And could we see a team like Atlanta say, I mean, if we're going defense anyways, who's going to jump up ahead of us and go defense? We could bump down. We could see a defensive player in the top 10, probably 9th or 10th, we could see that record set. And to think of the importance that we put on getting to the quarterback, being a disruptor, being a lockdown corner in the NFL, how important those guys are, the fact that we will not see a top 5 defensive player selected, we may see a guy 8th, 9th, or 10th, which would be the lowest a defensive player's ever been drafted.
It also lets you know...
That's why Nick Saban's quitting.
Where you can find some value.
And that's why the great teams are going to get better this year in the draft.
And this is, again...
Those guys get pushed
selfishly
down.
The Raiders should be trading down.
Should be trading down.
Yes. Is that you can find value because of the things that you need are aplenty.
Too many holes.
Yep.
Well, they've already got their quarterback and that little-ass boy, Gardner Minshew.
Absolutely. I'm okay with it.
Little-ass boy.
Little L.A.B., baby.
But if you look at it, the last 10 years, 2014, Jadeveon Clowney, that was a decade ago.
Good God.
Yep. He went number one. Dante Fowler went number three in 2015. Joey Bosa, third overall in 2016. Miles Garrett, number one in 2017. Denzel Ward, corner, went to the Browns in 2018. He's good.
Yeah.
Nick Bosa, number two overall in 2019. Chase Young, number two in 2020. J.C. Horn, number eight overall in 2021. Trayvon Walker, number one overall in 2022. And Will Anderson, number three last year.
Will Anderson worked out. Where do we fall on Trayvon Walker? He's been good.
He's been good. He is
just not great.
Plays in Jacksonville. Yeah. Jagging with Jeff. What do we got on Trayvon Walker? How do you feel about Trayvon Walker?
Good.
Was that a question or an answer to the question?
Good question, Mark.
Sorry, I'm over here trying to work on podcast stuff. Catching me off guard.
Well, I'm just asking you the very simple jagging questions here. I mean, look, he is good. He's a good edge rusher in the NFL. He's a 10-sack guy in year two in the NFL. I'd say pretty good.
He's
pretty good.
Solid. Like,
pretty good.
Number one overall, but good.
Yeah. Look,
there's a lot of years where you might not have somebody worthy of a number one overall pick, but somebody has to go number one.
Yeah, somebody does have to go. Anthony Bennett.
It's going to happen in the NBA draft this year.
Anthony Bennett.
Somebody's got to go.
That sucks.
Yeah,
but something to keep an eye on. We have a plethora of quarterbacks, wide receivers, offensive line. In those three positions are the premiums in the NFL right now. So what you're going to see, those runs going to be going early in this draft that is super deep at those positions, and they want those guys cheap at the beginning of their careers. We may not see a defender until 8, 9, or 10 in the first round.
Kind of weird.
Ooh,
kind of weird to think about.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
Now, speaking of weird and thinking about things, want to check in on Arian Foster? I think that's where we should go next. But first, it's Big Kahuna with the Sports Center update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Former NFL running back Arian Foster is, well, he's crazy. He's absolutely insane. Certifiable on a lot of things. But, you know, people are allowed to have their opinions.
Yeah, yep.
Even when they're terribly wrong.
Even when they're terribly wrong. And, well, he had one on a delectable salty food that I think was a little bit surprising.
There's like a bag of pretzels in there. Like, who be eating them? The pretzel stick is good.
You don't like
good.
Pretzels?
You like pretzels?
Bro, pretzels what? Are elite.
I like warm pretzels that you dip in like mustard or something like that. Like at a
those
bowl.
Are outstanding as well.
Like regular hard?
Yeah, you don't like pretzels?
They're horrible.
With
what?
Oh,
what a
that's like crazy. Pretzels?
Oh, I hope you get clowned for this.
Come at me. Pretzels. This is horrible.
No,
pretzels?
That's crazy. That's crazy, Blimps? Bro.
Pretzels are dog shit, bro.
They're a classic snack.
It's like you take a bite and your mouth gets exponentially drier, dog.
Well, I mean, have a bottle of water next to you, but
just everything about it is horrible.
No, this is crazy.
The whole experience is bad. I don't think I've ever met anybody that likes pretzels.
What?
Almost everyone you've met likes pretzels.
I don't understand how you could not.
Am I in a different dimension?
No, you're crazy. Yeah, you're crazy.
Like pretzels like that?
Yes.
And that's a rant from Arian Foster on the Macro Dosing podcast on the Barstool Network. And
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Yeah. Dusty currently holding his bag of Dots pretzels, of which he has with him at all times.
Yes. I need to get another bag. This one's getting low. I have Dots pretzels with me. The YouTube kings can all see. I have Dots pretzels with me at all times.
Like, I can't remember a show where I haven't seen you during a break just reach over and grab a little handful of Dots pretzels from your backpack.
Them. They're delicious.
It's always. I remember the first time I think I saw you do it, I didn't see the bag of pretzels. Yep. I just saw you reach into your backpack and pull out pretzels. And I was like, is his backpack full of pretzels?
Maybe.
That's like a real fat guy thing. Like, I was like, I'm doing the fat guy thing entirely wrong.
It's like the tater tots in my cargo shorts.
They're... cargo jorts.
Got ketchup in one side, taters in the other.
They
ketchup pocket.
Pretzels are delicious.
They are. They're very good. I am very fond of the Dots honey mustard pretzels.
Yeah, they are good. I'm not a fan of Dots Southwest season pretzels.
Ooh, I haven't tried those. You tried the cinnamon and sugar joints?
Come on, son. I have.
I'm not going down that lane.
Dude, you got a good saltiness in there with it too, with the sweet. It's a good one.
I'm not a big salty sweet guy.
Here's the problem with pretzels.
Boy, these pretzels are making me thirsty.
Seinfeld taught us all this, and that's 100% correct. They make you thirsty, but they're delicious.
God, I can't believe this. I will throw my hat in with Arian Foster on one thing, and one thing only.
Mm-hmm.
Warm pretzels are awesome.
They're great.
A warm pretzel, it does not matter when, like where, beer, how.
A little like beer cheese fondue.
Brother.
Let's go.
It is... I've never had a warm pretzel and been like, that was bad.
Yeah. No, they're great.
But now
here's
the thing with the gripe about the pretzels and they make you thirsty. Any good snack food worth its salt, you're going to have a beverage with it to drink alongside.
Well, this is why bars have bar pretzels and bar nuts. To keep you thirsty.
Yes.
And get you drinking more beer.
Right.
That's why they are there.
I can use a tasty beverage to wash this down.
Now, don't eat those at a bar because that's disgusting.
That's a bacteria trough right there.
That's right.
That's how you build up your immune system, all right?
That's how the COVID started.
No, that's what kept you from getting COVID.
Arian Foster
is a lunatic.
He is. I met Arian a few times when he was at the University of Tennessee.
How'd that go?
He's a really nice guy.
Sure.
He's a really nice dude.
Wait, was he there with Ainge?
Yeah, he was. He was Ainge's running back.
Good God.
I think, has a little bit of Kyrie in him.
A little bit?
You know how people say that Kyrie, his teammates actually talk very highly of Kyrie.
Oh, you go around the NBA? Guys like Kyrie.
Yeah. His teammates love Kyrie Irving. And people love Arian Foster. Arian Foster is a nice dude. Like, he is really down to earth. I think that Arian is not afraid to say kind of what he thinks, and he plays along with a lot of things. Like, remember when it was like he had, it was a joke on that podcast that the NFL is scripted and morons believed it.
Yeah.
He jokes a lot, right? But he also has opinions like this where at least he's being honest with us and we get to hear what our former athletes are thinking.
I would imagine
this is a wrong take, Arian. Yes.
Also, I would imagine both, like Kyrie, I would imagine both are probably have experimented with a wide variety of drugs.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I think, well, the name of his podcast is Macro Dosing. Not micro, macro.
Right? Maybe experimenting was the wrong word. Yeah. Has dove headfirst into piles of drugs.
That's right. So, that's 100% correct. But pretzels are delicious. I love all pretzels. Mm. I even like the little twisty pretzels, the little Snyder's pretzels that used to get. You know, who didn't just eat the ends off and have like a weird...
shaped,
you know,
little horseshoe
prong going on there, right? Yeah. Like,
no,
they're a tasty, delicious snack.
The company I used to work for made the fryers for a lot of baked goods and chips and things of that nature. Snyder's was actually one of the companies, so I've had like fresh off the line.
Ooh, how are those?
Oh, buddy,
those good.
Let me tell you.
Let's go.
Let me tell you.
All right. Let's do a little quality assurance check.
Look, there's two tasty snacks that I will say fresh off the line are better than pretty much any. Juanita's tortilla chips, Snyder's pretzels.
I need to get to the Juanita's factory. It's in Hood River?
There's one in Hood River and there's one in Salem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Can I get into
one of these
the
things
Juanita's
is not
factory?
Like the other.
Well, the original was in Hood River. I'm going to go a little inside baseball here.
Hold on. Can we just say, which town are you talking down to? Salem or Hood River?
Salem. Okay. I knew which way you were going with that. Yeah. I didn't even have to guess.
I think my history on that, my opinion of Salem is pretty clear.
Yeah, didn't you float a car there?
What? Yeah.
It didn't float.
You went to Willamette.
I sank a car there.
You swam in the Mill Run.
Once. Just once.
Yeah. Sober?
Willfully?
Come on now. I think that was rush week, maybe.
I don't believe
But yeah, I think you can get in publicly maybe at the Hood River one. But yeah, this is a little inside baseball or inside tortilla chips.
Okay.
They wanted to grow and they wanted to get they couldn't keep up a demand to get outside the Rockies for distribution, so they opened up the other facility and got some more fryers.
In Salem was the big move.
Yeah. Well, they did like a co-brand thing. Mm. So there's another facility.
Juanita's is great.
Oh, God. It's incredible. And
it is the best tortilla chip. And if you say otherwise, I'm sorry, you're just wrong.
Yeah. I don't even think it's a question. It is the best tortilla chip.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you see, people saying way too greasy. No. Delicious.
What?
Delicious.
Are you kidding me?
There is definitely a grease factor there.
Yeah, that was the thing. Is like I got them fresh off the line, so they were still oily. Like, what? This is the problem. Okay, you know what? I'm going to go full California here with these freaking Oregonians. All you want is your stupid dry Tostitos. Mm-mm. No, they suck. They suck.
Yeah.
They're not even close. That's not a tortilla chip. A tortilla chip has to be greasy. Has to be oily.
All right.
Good God.
Bye.
Tostitos sucks.
The one tortilla chip that was not greasy, that was delicious, though, was Chevy's Fresh Mex.
Chevy's off the line? Those were greasy.
No.
Yes, they were.
No, I did.
Fresh off, they were, like, there was a shine to them.
No, those are great.
Buddy,
I
used to go there and buy the pound of the pint to go. Trust me.
Yeah.
I was a Chevy's chips and salsa aficionado.
Yeah.
I will say, though, underrated chip, just the plain Dorito, the plain corn chip.
Again, but it's not trying to accomplish.
I can't say I've ever had that.
Oh, you're talking about like the basic old
Dorito,
yellow bag
no
of Dorito?
Spice, no spice.
That's your Oregonian coming out in you.
I'm just saying, underrated.
Okay, underrated is fine. We're not going into like it's better or good.
Oh, no,
okay.
No. That's not what I was saying.
Totally fine.
Yeah.
Totally fine. But yeah, your tortilla chips should be oily, should be greasy. It should have a fat content to it.
I don't even know what brand. I think it might be Mission. Tortilla chips.
Mm-hmm.
Comes
are
in
those
paper bag.
Long rectangle ones?
Yes. Yeah.
Not good.
I believe they have some rounds too, but yeah, like in the paper bag.
No.
Yeah.
Again, and why is that? Because they're dry.
All right.
And they're just like, they have like that weird seasoning on it. It's like, if a pretzel takes all the moisture from your mouth, that like sets you back 2 years.
Yeah.
I remember back when my wife used to work at a Mexican restaurant, she'd come home from work and just due to the amount of like tortilla fat and whatnot in the air back in those kitchens, I would smell her before she walked in the room coming home from work. Just there was about a 6-foot radius around her, just horrific tortilla fat.
That's why you had two kids, huh? That right there, that got Russ going.
That was after the shower.
All right.
Okay. All right. On that, I can't pivot another tortilla chips.
Love pretzels.
We're gonna go. We're gonna go straight to greatness. USA Basketball has announced their team that they are going to take to France. They did get it right. Coming up in here, Danny Dusty, Tony the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
We're not that far off from opening ceremonies coming to the 2024 Olympics in Paris, France.
Ooh.
God, the Olympics creep it up real quick.
Yeah, July.
Mm-hmm.
We already have controversies, though. We have the
uniforms.
Track uniforms that they're saying one distance runner said my hoo-ha will be showing in that.
It's a pretty high cut.
Yeah, to which Nike said, well, that's just one of the many options that you have. You don't have to wear that one. It's a weird controversy to have. We've got, I know, gymnastics. Don't we have gymnastics team in that rounding out soon? Don't they have that coming up?
They'll have the final competitions here very soon.
Obviously, we have the track and field trials coming up.
It's June.
June,
It's down in Austin, isn't it?
Hayward.
Yep. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yep. So it's all, we're all coming together. This is exciting. I love, where's badminton trials? I want to know where the badminton trials are.
What's the badminton, but with your feet?
That's not an Olympic sport.
That is the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, they're doing like backflip kicks.
Yeah, I don't believe that. Have you ever played against like a truly elite badminton player?
Can't say that I have, Bob.
Oh my God. You want to be humbled?
Mm.
Go and
watch a birdie go do weird things.
Yeah, me and my buddy thought that we were hot stuff in high school, you know, in team sports.
Oh yeah,
playing badminton. Our teacher, Mr. Baines, who was the dance team coach, that dude was like, "Oh, okay, we'll play." Laser beams,
one on two,
like, just destroyed us. Absolutely crushed us.
I had that happen in racquetball. Like, I grew up playing racquetball with my dad. Golly. I was like, I'm pretty good at this.
Mm-mm.
And I transferred from one base to another, and my new supervisor was like, what are you into? And basketball. And I was like, oh, weird one, racquetball. Really love playing racquetball. I used to play all the time. He's like, oh, really? Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'll take you on. I never got more humble in a sport than that.
That's right.
It's weird how you get good at those sports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, how the hell did you get this good at this sport?
Yeah, how are you this good?
You know? It's kind of weird.
I'm trying to find where the badminton trials are. I can't find
it. While you're looking that up, I've got the U.S. men's national basketball team.
Oh, a sport people care about.
There you go. It has been finalized, and boy, is it some dudes. Your guards, Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Devin Booker, Drew Holiday,
okay.
No surprises there. Anthony Edwards and Tyrese Halliburton, your first-time members.
Okay,
pretty solid. Your forwards: LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, and the last add, Kawhi Leonard. I'm sorry, yes, Kawhi Leonard is your other forward. Your centers: Bam Adebayo, Anthony Davis, and Joel Embiid, who committed to play for Team USA a couple months ago.
Yeah, because, was it?
Cameroonian.
Last year, he became a U.S. citizen?
Yes.
That team's loaded.
Yes, it is absolutely.
They're going to dream team this thing.
Juice to the gills. And why is it juice to the gills? Because, well, there's been some the FIBA team that we put forth. Jaren Jackson Jr. left off this. He was one that was much maligned for the FIBA performances. Did not go well for him. He said he wanted to be a part of it, which I thought was a little interesting because usually when you know you're not going to make it, you don't put it out there like, hey, I wanted to be a part of this.
And he didn't. Damian Lillard not on it, though.
Damian Lillard not on it. Kyrie Irving not on it.
Now, I understand Kyrie because that has international incident written all over it. I mean, we want to send Kyrie over to Paris with USA written across his chest. I mean, he's going to be trying to get people to the Earth is flat, the conspiracy theories that are going to come out of that. We could have an international incident. I get that one. Dame, you look at the season that he has had this year. I mean, it's not up to snuff for the Olympics. I think that like guys like Jalen Brunson, mm-hmm. Jalen Brunson not being
Paul
on this
George
team,
is not on this team.
In the fact that, yeah. A playoff P.
Here's your list of guys that were not on the team. So Paul George is also a part of that group. Jared Allen, Paolo Banchero, Desmond Bane, Scotty Barnes, Mikal Bridges, Jaylen Brown, Jalen Brunson, Jimmy Butler, Alex Caruso, De'Aaron Fox, Aaron Gordon, James Harden, Josh Hart, Tyler Harrow, Chet Holmgren, Brandon Ingram, Kyrie, Jaren Jackson, Cam Johnson, Walker Kessler, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Chris Paul, Bobby Portis, Austin Reeves, and then Duncan Robinson, Derek White, and Trae Young.
But
those are your the entirety of your Team USA select members.
Now, who do you take off of this team and put on? Because
I'm surprised
I think
Kawhi's on this team.
Kawhi Leonard
because
and
of the health.
The health concerns, but that could be a scratch. But we know when Kawhi is healthy, dude's one of the best players in the world.
Sure.
And he is a matchup problem for international style of basketball too, because I think that's one thing that we got to look at when you're talking about Team USA in the Olympics is the FIBA world rules. They're a little bit different than the NBA rules. And a guy like Kawhi Leonard assimilates to that style of play perfectly.
I'm kind of surprised Drew's on this team.
Drew Holiday?
Yeah. I'm not against it.
I am
because you got to have guys who play roles,
and it's
that's part of this.
He's not going to be a guy who's going to be shoot on volume. You know, you have consistency and not a lot of variance mm-hmm. in his offensive game. But he's one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA, which would make him one of the best perimeter defenders in the world. So, like, you really need it with the way the rest of this roster is kind of filled out. But that one is a little bit surprising. That one is. Brunson is one that I am a little bit surprised.
Yeah,
he's not
especially
on there.
Being a New York guy. Like,
and
that's
he's got that dog in him. Mm-hmm. He, again, kind of in the vein of Drew Holiday, you know what you get from him and can expect mm-hmm. from him, and he can fit in to anything stylistically.
I know it's one last hurrah for Steph, but I think Brunson's probably more deserving than Steph.
For this year?
For this cycle.
For sure. Yeah.
But part of this is it's a, kind of a, like a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah.
Because you've got 39-year-old LeBron James on here.
Wait, who's coaching this team?
Steve Kerr.
Oh!
Yeah, they couldn't squeeze Clay or Dwayne.
Dang. Yeah, okay. That one makes more sense now, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but this team is loaded.
I can't wait.
I mean, it is absolutely loaded.
And like,
they,
when they
and
take
they better
on,
be.
When they take on Montenegro and beat them by 900 points, I'm just going to be going, USA! Yeah. USA! The whole time. Like
and
that's
and
how
we talked
is.
About a couple weeks ago, they got a great draw in their bracket in their pool play. We'll see how things shake up here. Quick national team update. Mm-hmm. Delano Banton at Exit Interviews mentioned that he does want to play for Team Canada, and I've heard that Canada has reached out to him, as well as Shaden Sharpe is open to the idea of playing for Team Canada. There's some stuff to kind of
Canada.
Peruse there.
Canada's going to be pretty decent.
They're not going to have any bigs, but they're going to have a ton of guards.
Well, Zach Edey.
They're not going to have any bigs. They're going to have a ton of guards. Kelly Olynyk is their best big.
Well, Zach Edey.
Yeah.
And this will be, that's actually going to be the first time that people who are like, how come Zach Edey can't play in the NBA? And then he'll have to guard Nikola Jokic, mm-hmm. and he'll have to guard Joel Embiid, and he'll be like, oh.
Especially in the international game where it's, you know, it's a lot more open. But yeah, you also might see Vegas and Canada are going to play against, or sorry, USA and Canada are going to play against each other in Vegas a couple days before Summer League this year.
All right,
there's a chance maybe you see Scoot Henderson on that U.S. select team.
Hey, all right,
so
that'd be fun.
Yeah, there's your first Olympic basketball update. I'm actually, you know, this is kind of cool. You know, getting ready to cover that this summer. Like the summer obviously for the radio is you know kind of our down period, but with the Olympics we're gonna have some stuff to talk about for a couple weeks.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah,
I like that.
Hopefully it's just the United States just crushing.
That would be fun,
taking home medals.
All right, coming up next, Bill Belichick getting crushed left, right, and center. A little dive into why Belichick is currently not coaching. Come up here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.